Wonder if we could start our meeting tonight with number 197. Maybe a local brother could start it. 197. Just ask the Lord's blessing on our meeting. Well, I'd like to just turn first to open up to one portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, God has given us a high calling. Not only are we saved by his grace and by his love, but he's given us new desires because we have a new life. We have the very life of Christ. We're indwelled with the Spirit of God. And his love constrains us day by day. Day by day, don't you sense the love of the Lord? Don't you want to live in the love of that blessed one? And it says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Well, I want to speak this afternoon just very briefly about purity. About things that perhaps we often find a little difficult to talk about. But, you know, the Word of God is sufficient for all of our needs in this world. And, you know, Brother Bill Warr used to say something to this effect. He said that this world, this earth, is the most wicked place in all of God's creation. It's the most filthy, wicked place, and it's filled with sin. But God has given us his Word. And he's given us, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we're indwelt with his Spirit. He's given us the power to live a clean life in the most wicked place in all of God's creation. And I would just want to look at a couple of young people this afternoon. Jacob's sons, one of Jacob's sons, and then his only daughter. And just see how the enemy was seeking to take them down and to defile them, but how Joseph was preserved. Well, just turn to Genesis. We'll look at Dinah first. I just want to read in chapter 30, verse 21 first. Genesis 30, verse 21, afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And then just a little further on in chapter 34 in verse 1. Actually, let's just read chapter 33 and just verse 18. Genesis 33 and verse 18. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of the field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Elo He Israel. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her, defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father, Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this story, and I don't want to really spend a lot of time on the story about Joseph. And I would rather look in the New Testament at perhaps seven things that we might consider and be exercised about how to have a clean and a pure life in the sight of God. You know, Paul could speak to Timothy, and he could say, I'm not going to be able to quote it here, but let's turn to 2 Timothy, hold your place there. And he could say in verse chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, and verse 21, I'm just going to read part of the verse, a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, young people, I went to an office not too long ago, a fellow that I used to work for him. And he's a Roman Catholic man. I don't believe he's saved yet, but we trust the Lord with contact from time to time that the work of the Spirit might be deepened in his heart. But you know, he acquired himself a set of CDs. He lives in Michigan, and he works in Ohio. And he drives to work, and he comes and he stays for a week in his condo in Ohio, and then he drives back to Michigan. And he has lots of time. And so he got himself a set of CDs by Alexander Scorby, read by Alexander Scorby, of the Scriptures. And I came into his office not too long ago, and I said, Terry, are you listening to the Word of God on CD? Are you listening? He said, yes, I've started in Genesis. He says, and I can't understand if this is God's Word. All of the immorality and all the filthiness and all the wickedness at the beginning of this book, a beginning of the Bible. He says, why is it that God has told us about all these stories? Why is it? Well, I said to him, you know, it's because God wants us to know by illustration how wicked the heart of man is and how his grace is sufficient to overcome, and that we might have a clean life, a pure life. And so God wants us to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. You know what it means to be sanctified? It means to be set apart by God for a holy purpose. God wants to not only for you to be saved, but to have a saved life, set apart by himself for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is to bring forth glory to his name in this scene, in this filthy, wicked world. Well, you know, Dinah here, it says that Jacob did something, and that is that he came and he pitched his tent before a city, and perhaps gives us a little bit of a sense that he wasn't as much of a pilgrim as he could have been or should have been at this point in time, and he bought a parcel of land. He settled down a little bit in this world. Just a little bit. Not a lot, but it's a lesson to us, you know, those of us that are fathers, if we settle down into this world just a little bit, why, it's going to have an effect upon our children. And this is perhaps the only daughter, as I say, that Jacob had. And you can sense that perhaps she was lonely, wanted to have some fellowship. There, she had brothers in the house and so on, and she wanted to go out and have some female companionship. Those that were someone that she could talk to and visit with. But God gives us this lesson here, that she went to the wrong place for her fellowship. She left her father's house. She left the safety of a godly home. And she left that place and she went out to see the daughters of the land. And there was a boy, Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the country, saw her and took her and lay with her and defiled her. So I just want to say this as a little bit of an illustration, and I present this little story, read this little story. There may be some sisters here, and you may be the only sister in the assembly where you are. Maybe the only young person, the only young sister. May God give you grace to go to the conferences. God give you grace not to go to see the daughters of the world, because you know this is a wicked world. And the enemy is seeking to destroy your life. And he doesn't care how he does it. He wants to destroy your life. And this girl innocently went out and didn't understand the principles that this world operates on. And those boys that she saw, they might have had decent clothing and a decent upbringing and so on. But they were used to taking what they wanted, not asking God for what they wanted, what they needed, but in independence of God, reaching out and taking what was good in their sight. But you know, Jacob had a daughter, a princess. His name had been changed to Israel. It means a prince with God. This man was a Hivite. He was a prince among the Canaanites. And this was a prince, a prince's daughter, Dinah. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Precious. Every one of you, dear young people, is precious to the heart of God. Every one of you. And the Lord delights to bless you, and he'll reward your faith if you seek to walk with him in purity. And if you seek to have the fellowship of those that are of a like precious faith, I just want to turn to Acts chapter 4, read a well-known verse. I want to encourage you to seek your fellowship with those that are gathered to the Lord's name, those that are believers, that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and make your companions those. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Just this little phrase, being let go, they went to their own company. You know, the Lord's desire is that the social center of your life, as young people, those of us that are older too, the social center of your life and mine, as those that are believers, ought to be other believers. And we don't want to speak ill of those that are not gathered to the Lord's name or anything like that, but isn't it wonderful to be able to keep company with those that love the truth and want to walk in all of the truth of God? In the 119th Psalm, verse 63, let's read it together. I could quote it, but let's just read it together. 119, verse 63, it says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Are you a companion of those that fear the Lord, that are afraid of displeasing the Lord? Well, Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land, and she got herself into trouble. We don't read too much of her afterwards. But we know that there was an act of wickedness on the part of Simeon and Levi. Well, we don't have a lot of time to comment any further on that. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. Just a couple pages over and read a couple of things in connection with Joseph. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And a little further on, in chapter 39, verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Well, we'll stop there. We all know this story very well. We've learned it from our youth. And it's a picture of what God tells us in the New Testament. He says, flee fornication. And Joseph fled fornication. His sister, Dinah, had fallen. Perhaps he knew about Reuben and his sin. And he didn't know, perhaps, in connection with Judah and his sin of lying with a harlot, with a prostitute. But here, there was a young man, 17 years old, brought up in his father's house in the fear of God, and he wanted to please the Lord. Can I ask you a question, dear young people? Do you want to please the Lord? Is there a desire in your heart to walk with the Lord? Joseph, as a young man, it seems like everything just went wrong for him because he walked with God, and he was a principled man, but he found himself in the workplace, and he was alone with this woman. You know, when I was a young man working in Eastern Ontario someplace, there was a little assembly, and I went to work for a man that was building a house. And he wasn't married very long, maybe a couple of years, 2-3 years. And he was building a house, and he had a cabinet maker come into the house and custom manufacture a kitchen for his wife. He came into the house in the middle of the day, and he began to install some of these kitchen cabinets and so on. And this man's wife was by herself. And they got talking and talking and had a cup of tea and that sort of thing. And finally, after a little bit of conversation, this man said, I'd like to hug you. You know, I just want to say this in faithfulness to you, dear young people, to all of us, if we need to be careful not to be alone with those of the opposite sex in a situation where we might find ourselves led to temptation. And Joseph here was a slave. And, you know, he might say, well, I just desired, nobody could blame me because, you know, I'm a slave. And what's the prospect of me ever having a wife? What's the prospect of me ever raising a family? And what's the prospect of me ever having things the way they should be. You know, it says in the 105th Psalm, it says that the word of the Lord tried him. It tested him. God's word, God had spoken a word through him. Let's look at that, the 105th Psalm, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. God's word tested him. He had the word of God, and it was tested because he believed God. When the test came, he believed what God had to say. Do you believe what God has to say? You know what it says in Deuteronomy? It says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Joseph believed God, and he fled from that household. And he was further humiliated. But I want to just turn a couple of chapters over in chapter 41 of Genesis, verse 46. Let's read verse 45. Genesis 41, verse 45. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Then just a little bit further on in verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Well, I just want to point out here, for every one of us as an encouragement, God always rewards faith. And Joseph wouldn't reach out and take something that God hadn't given him. And God arranged to have Joseph presented with a wife when he was 30 years old. God presented Joseph with a wife, probably the best wife in all of Egypt that could have ever been presented to him. I would just encourage you, if you're not married, to wait. Wait. God has a purpose for you. God's heart is for you. His heart is 100% for his people. Well, let's just look at a few verses of scripture in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament. I'll start in the 119th Psalm. You might say, well, you know, this is kind of a difficult subject, and how am I supposed to keep myself pure? How do we do this? How do we live like Joseph? How do we prevent the snares of the enemy from yielding fruit? How do we escape those snares? Well, it says in the 119th Psalm, verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then I want to just look at the 140th verse. It says there, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Well, I just want to look at seven things. The first one is the word of God. One of the things that God has given us that might help us to walk in a pure path in the most wicked place in all of God's creation in this world. And God delights in purity. God delights in purity. God delights to see you with a heart that delights in holiness. He says, be therefore also holy, even as I am holy. And so he delights in us having pure thoughts. You know, the Lord Jesus, it speaks of in Ephesians chapter 5. Just hold your place there at the 119th Psalm. I just want to read this because this is the objective that we ought to have before us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, just halfway through. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You are the object of love that the Lord Jesus had in an eternity past. But in the present time, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in the present day, the Lord is using the Word of God to cleanse and to help you to walk in an upright life, in a wicked world. And then it says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Isn't it wonderful that when you and I get home to the glory, he's going to look upon his bride and say, she'll see the fruit of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. He's not going to be one seeing one spot, one wrinkle. And perhaps we fail in this scene. Perhaps we sin. And perhaps some in this room perhaps even have fallen into fornication. But oh, what a great God that we have. What a restoring God. And a delight that he has to present to himself a bride. All those sins that we've committed in this scene will be erased, gone, because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He'll look at us and he'll see a bride that's pure. A pure bride, holy. But here in this psalm, the 119th psalm, Israel is just coming back into the land. And the Word of God has captivated their hearts. They want to have the Word of God before them. And it speaks here of having the purity of the Word before them and cleansing ourselves with the Word. How much is the Word of God a part of your life? There was a survey done years ago. I wish I had the presence of mind to clip out these little tidbits. But there was a survey done of those that were so-called pastors and ministers in the churches as to how much time they spent in prayer in an average day. And the average came to less than 5 minutes a day. How much time did they spend in the Word of God? It was pitiful. But beloved brethren, we're just near the end. We're just about to hear the voice of the Lord calling us home to the glory. And oh, how he loves to see us, to have us in his presence, and to hear our voices in prayer. He says in the Song of Solomon, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice." Oh, he wants to hear your voice in prayer. He wants you to spend time in his presence with the Word of God. So that's one of the things that will help us to see things the way we ought to see them. Well, let's turn to the New Testament, 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Oh, the instructions of God in his word, and how he desires us to have a pure heart, a right motive, as we read the word of God, as we have the instructions given to us, and to have a good conscience. How necessary it is for us to have a good conscience. Is there something that I go on with that is defiling to the conscience? May God give us the grace to recognize that the enemy has a strategy, and that is to defile us and to render our lives wrecks in this scene. May the Lord give us grace to be exercised in his presence and to have our consciences tender towards himself. You know, Paul could say he wanted to have a conscience that was void of offense toward God and men. You know, a wonderful thing to have a clear conscience. It takes so little to give us a bad conscience. But oh, how Paul wanted Timothy to have a clear conscience. And that's one of the things that will help us as we walk in this scene. Well, we looked at Psalm 119, verse 63, a little earlier. And this is one of the verses of Scripture that is so helpful, has been helpful to me and has been helpful to others. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Who are your companions? Who do you go to? Who do you go to visit after your school responsibilities, after your work responsibilities? Who is it that you visit with on the phone? Who is it that you visit with in the home? Who is it that you desire to spend time in the presence of? Are those companions them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts? You know what a precept is? It's a divine detail of the Word of God, a divine little detail. God has given us details in the Word of God. It's Isaiah chapter 28. He speaks of those details. That every little detail in the Word of God is so precious and so necessary. Verse 10. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. You know, I was staying last week in the home of a brother. And he was sharing little tidbits, little things that he enjoyed in the Word of God. Little treasures, just little things. One of them was Quartus, a brother, in Romans chapter 16. Quartus, a brother. You know, the Apostle Paul in that last chapter of Romans chapter 16, he mentions, I think it is, 37 different individuals in that chapter. Every one of them was precious to him. Are those your companions? There's a young lady that went to Europe last year. And when she was about to go to Europe, she made inquiry at the university from one of her friends as to a place where she might stay when she was in a certain city. And this girl said, "Well, I have a brother in such and such a place. And he has an apartment, and I'm sure that you could roll up your sleeping bag and you could go and sleep over there." And so she went to Europe a couple of weeks just in the past here. And she said, now, after this contact, you know, this boy took an interest in her, and she's going to see her boyfriend in Europe. The companions that we make. Beloved young people, the companions that you and I make and keep, the companionship, God knows that you need a companion. God knows if you're not married that you delight to have a companion cry to the Lord for help. You know, it says that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And the Lord delights to bless in this way. Don't go out with those that don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. God is not going to make an exception for you. God is not going to make an exception for you in His Word. And Shechem took what he wanted. He didn't ask anything. He didn't ask any permission. Wasn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus desires your blessing, desires you to have a happy life, and He's desired that we would have the instruction of the Word of God to remember that if we keep companionship with those that fear Him, that are afraid to displease Him, why, there's going to be fruit. And we'll be preserved. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Another one of those things that we might have before us that would have a purifying effect. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Well, the Lord is bringing before us here in this little passage of Scripture that one of the things that will help us to purify us will be to have the coming of the Lord before us. Wouldn't it be nice if He came this afternoon? I'm looking forward to the eternal rest of God. I'm looking forward to seeing the Savior face to face. I'm looking forward not having to drive down the interstate and see the filthy billboards advertising casinos that men and women looking to get rich quick and to take out and reach out for things that God hasn't given them. I'm looking forward to being in a place where sin can never come. I'm looking forward to looking into the face of a man that never sinned. You have that hope. Is it a present hope? Is it a daily hope to look for the Lord's coming? You know, there was an old brother in Hamer Bay. His name is Gerald Jacklin. He's at home with the Lord now. But I went over to his house and visited one time, a couple of times. I wish I'd gone more often. But you know, I went and visited with him. And just sitting in his living room talking, had the Word of God open. And he said, you know what I do every morning? He says, I thank the Lord for a good night's rest. And I say, good morning, Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful to still be alive. Help me to use the day for Thee. Maybe Thou'lt come today. Maybe Thou'lt come today. Oh, what a present hope we ought to have. Well, if we have the coming of the Lord before us, it'll have a purifying effect in our lives. That's what God says. We're going to be physically like Him, and that's really brought out in Philippians chapter 3. I think it's verses 20 and 21. But here it's morally like Him. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Oh, we want to walk in a pure way and to be acceptable unto Him, don't we? Abraham, you know, wanted to be acceptable to the Lord. And in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 14, when the king of Sodom met him, he wouldn't take anything that the king of Sodom had presented to him, would present to him. Didn't take anything. The coming of the Lord. You know, there was a man in Montreal years ago, in the time that Mr. McDowell was alive. And my father-in-law went to Montreal, and he visited. This was in the 20s. And this man got saved. Took Christ as his Savior. Was saved out of Roman Catholicism, I believe. And the coming of the Lord was so real with him that while Mr. Hamer was there in Montreal, brother came running down the street to Brother McDowell's home, and he said, Brother, he says, Brother so-and-so is starting to take the roof off of his house. And so the bunch of them that were there in that home, they ran down the street and asked him what he was doing. He says, the Lord's coming. I don't want anything to be in the way. I want to be ready. It was a present hope. Well, the brethren were very kind. They helped him put his roof back on. But, beloved brethren, is it a present hope? Are you looking? Are you waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord to come? Would you want Him to see you in a place that you shouldn't be? Would you want Him to see you touching something that you shouldn't have your hand on? Oh, the Lord delights to have us walk in purity, and having the coming of His own coming in mind, in view, is one of the things that will help us. Well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Well, this little point is this, that I think we can stir one another up. We need to stir one another up to remembrance. And Peter was doing that. He didn't want the saints to get lethargic. And I think it's so lovely for us to remind one another from day to day, the Lord might come today. You know, my father had a text, a gospel text, at the front door of his house in 1962 when I was a little boy. And it said this, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And you don't think it has an effect on the children? You don't think it might have an effect on you? It has an effect. The Word of God has power. And I remember that verse to this day. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and His coming is as sure as the dawn. His coming is as sure as the dawn. Oh, how we need to have that before us. But we need to stir one another up. Our minds. What are we feeding on? You know, Philippians chapter, I think it's 3, brings before us what we should have before our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I just point this out in connection with 1 Peter chapter 3 and this stirring up of our pure minds by way of remembrance, because some of us wear our feelings on our shirt sleeve. And dear brethren, how many young people have we seen fall because we wouldn't open our mouths lest we offend them? How many older ones, perhaps, have fallen because someone wouldn't say something and warn them? Let's stir one another up. Let's have pure minds. Let's think about those things that have to do with Christ. He doesn't want us to be occupied with the filth of this world, and I feel this subject is one of the things that is perhaps such an exercise as to taking it up is it's difficult to speak about these things and to have the filth perhaps brought before us. Well, we want to have the purity of Christ brought before us, the purity of the things that he desires us to think of. Let's turn just to Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13, Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Well, you know, this is speaking of the Sabbath, and we don't keep the Sabbath because we're not under the law. But we have something that is very precious. We have the liberty to observe the Lord's day. And I used to, as a boy, call it Sunday. But, you know, I delight to call that first day of the week the Lord's Day. One of the things that will help you and has helped me, and I trust will help you, is to keep the Lord's Day, to observe it. And not in a religious way, not in a legal way, not to say, you know, I was brought up in a division and it was a legal thing. And some of the brethren weren't allowed to drive their cars on the Lord's Day because that was kind of a carnal thing to do. Well, that's not what we're talking about. Out of a heart of affection for the Lord, would you give him the first day of the week? He gave everything that he had to purchase you for himself. Would you give him the first week, the first day of the week? You know, after you've given him the first day of the week, how much easier it is to give him the second day and the third day. And so he says, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. How the Lord delights to have us enjoy his presence. Well, our time is up, and I wanted to sing one verse of 256. Let's just... Would you bear with me and sing the whole hymn? Let's stand up and sing this hymn together.